Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The Gospel of the Lord. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, it's good to be back. My goodness. A couple weeks I take off and it's like a family reunion when we all get back together again. This morning, we have two marvelous texts in front of us. Ephesians 4 and John 6. Well, I want to start with Ephesians for just a minute because September 19th, 1992, this was one of the texts that Vince and I chose for our ordination service. It was and is formative for our whole understanding of church. And so what does Paul do when he writes about church? He writes about Christ's body. And body is such an apt image, because I think most of us at some point or another in our lives have been body obsessed. Have you ever seen a teenage magazine? I don't even know what they call it anymore. Teen Vogue. I thank heavens, my daughter's 26. I'm not in that world anymore. But I remember it. I even remember it personally. It goes back that far. Or as we get older, the pounds that come and go, or for some of us mostly come. And then the things that make us feel a little older, sore joints and parts that don't work as well as they used to work. Our bodies, if you think about it, are on our mind a lot, right? Anybody not think about their body this morning as they got out of bed and came to church? So it's interesting that Paul uses this image as body. Because if you think about how often we think of our bodies and what we think of our bodies, imagine what Jesus thinks about his body. Do you think Jesus has body image issues? I don't think so. But what's miraculous about this is that these images that Paul uses about the body of Christ are images of inclusion, images of humility and gentleness and patience and bearing with one another in love. Humility, gentleness, patience, and bearing with one another in love. That's very reminiscent of the fruits of the Spirit, right? The body of Christ is gifted. Each of you has been gifted with abilities and passions and drives. And Paul says that's for the building up of the body. Any bodybuilders in the crowd? I know, like, marching band season is about to start, and we've got some coaches here that are probably already in the midst of building bodies, strength training. You see, these images work so well with the life of faith because faith itself is a muscle. When we exercise it, it's more available to us when we really need it. Right? When we learn to trust God in the big stuff and the small stuff, when something really big comes, we can say, oh yeah, God's got this. That's not as easy to do when we don't practice it, when we don't use those strength muscles. But Paul says this whole exercise of remembering ourselves and each other as part of one body has a purpose. We've been given all of those things that make up what we are. And our purpose is to equip each other for ministry. Have you thought of yourself as a coach? As Christians together in the church, we are both coach and cheerleader for each other. That's why I love coming in here on a Sunday morning. To see the whole body, to see the team together, to find out what the week looks like, what last week looked like, what the challenges are for the next week. Because when we come together, we equip each other. And it's beautiful. Christ's body is beautiful. Not a lot of people think about that when they look at their own bodies, when they say that about their own bodies, because we have all these little nitpicky things in our heads. And I think sometimes when we look at church from our perspectives, we look at it from that way too. But Christ's body is beautiful. So how do we feed and equip that body? Jesus tells that to us as well in John 6. Last week, Anders was here. He preached on the feeding of 5,000. This week's gospel is a continuation of that story. You see, the people that had all been fed this miraculous meal were chasing Jesus now. You know, if he fed us once like that, if we could just follow him, it would be like manna in the wilderness. We'd just reach down, grab food whenever we need it, we'd be fine. We remember the story of the Exodus. We remember the story of the manna in the wilderness, how God just took care of everyone. And Jesus says, this is not how that is. There's no flaky manna. By the way, Moses didn't give it to him, God did. There's no flaky manna because I am the bread of life. And this comes just shortly after the story of the woman at the well in John, when Jesus talks about living water that will bubble up for eternity. And the woman says, give me this water. Well, that's what these people are saying with the bread too. Give me this bread And Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Now that was a hard message for those people who were just looking for a free meal. But the message isn't about the next 20 minutes or the next 4 hours of staving away hunger pangs. The message is about eternal grace. The love of God that fills us. The grace and the mercy that embrace us, that empower us, that propel us to, that compel us to love our neighbor. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Now talk about non-perishable, right? We have a food pantry. We feed people. That's what this church does. And we tell people, if you're going to bring food to the food pantry, please bring non-perishable items. Guess what? In the long run, everything is perishable. I remember in the spring after 9/11, going to New York City, going to Ground Zero, and these two indestructible towers were nothing but dust. There was nothing left. Now, you all know the story of the Titanic, the unsinkable. It sank. Everything in this lifetime, everything created by human hands, is perishable. But the love, the grace, the mercy of God, those are forever. And so we gather as a church. We gather around the baptismal font, which is back now. If you haven't seen it, come up, touch it. It's so beautiful. It's been restored. Again, that's perishable. The life of the baptismal grace that God gives us is not. We come together around the Word of God to receive our spiritual nourishment, to remind ourselves again that we are remembered to the body of Christ. Remember, you cut off a limb, you're dismembered. We come together as church around word and sacrament to be remembered, reattached to the body of Christ. And we come together at communion because Jesus is the bread of life. And we come together knowing that somehow in the mystery of the bread and the wine and the people gathered, Christ is here in our midst with us. We are his body, and his body is given for us. People of God, the body of Christ is beautiful. May the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds. In the grace, mercy, and love of Christ. Amen.